Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HEICO Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anish Swadi, Business Transformation. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all of you, and thank you very much for joining us today for our Q4 2022 FY earnings call. I am Anish Swadi, Senior President of Business Transformation and Head of the Management Committee. With me, I have Mr. Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj Mehrotra, our President, Pharmaceuticals Business, Mr. Vimal Kulshreth, our President, Crop Protection Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. We hope you and your family members are safe and healthy. I am pleased to interact with all of you on our Q4 FY22 earnings call. I hope you have gone through our earnings release presentation and financial results for the quarter. You can find these on the stock exchanges and on our website too. I would like to start this call with an update on the unfortunate incident which occurred at Sachin GIDC Surat on 6th January 2022. Allegations were made that the tanker involved was carrying a byproduct which allegedly came from HEICO's Taloja factory. We would like to reiterate the fact that the tanker reported as allegedly disposing chemicals into the stream was not the same tanker that left the company's premises in Taloja. The company has provided all documentary evidence to this effect. All relevant employees of HEICO have voluntarily cooperated in the ongoing investigation. Since then, there has been a judicial recognition of the non-existent role of HEICO and its employees in the entire incident, as elucidated by the Honorable Gujarat High Court in its order. As on date, none of the HEICO employees are in judicial custody, and all have resumed work. This matter is still sub judice, and as things stand, HEICO is in a very strong legal position. As a result of the Sachin GIDC incident, the MPCB had also given us a closure notice to the Taloja factory. We have provided all the relevant documents to MPCB, and we are taking appropriate measures under the course of law to remedy the situation swiftly. We are confident of resolving the issue on the closure notice at the earliest, having filed a writ petition to that effect, which will be heard in the coming week once the regular bench convenes. Upon reopening the plant, we will begin executing the pending order book, which has been built up over the course of this quarter despite these testing times, and only further illustrates the fact that our order book is strong. However, owing to the nature of the business, we will have to gradually ramp up the scale of operations, which could have some short-term impact on our crop protection business. We have been transparent about the matter and have actively communicated with all our internal and external stakeholders, including customers. We appreciate the fact that they have continued to demonstrate high level of confidence in our company. In order to ensure such an unfortunate incident does not repeat in the future, we are taking stringent and proactive steps towards further strengthening our compliance policies and standard operating procedures. We have already onboarded a reputed audit firm, Mahajan and Ibera, for our internal audit. We have also partnered with a reputed ESG firm and initiated focused third-party audits for our entire plant network to identify and fill in gaps for further areas of improvement. We are also working closely with our customers to ensure a best-in-class operating model. Now I'd like to just give you an overview of our FY22 performance. From a market perspective, we all know the latter half of FY22 has been extremely challenging for the life sciences industry, especially due to the uncertainty arising from Ukraine-Russia war, geopolitical tensions, and the reemergence of COVID cases in China. This has led to significant headwinds in the availability and pricing of key raw materials and solvents. Also, the huge rise in crude oil prices have significantly impacted freight as well as logistics costs. Despite multiple challenges and disruptions, Haikal has been able to maintain to a large extent supply continuity and fulfilled a large majority of its customer commitments. The agility shown by Haikal team in such a challenging scenario has been very positive. From a financial update perspective, for the year ended FY22, Haikal has achieved a consolidated total revenue of 1,943 crores for the year, witnessing a total growth of 13% over the previous year. Profit before tax was 341 crores, a growth of 5%. Our EBITDA margin for the year came in at 17.6%. Haikal was witnessing robust growth from Q1 to Q3 of FY22 with 21% growth for the 9 months FY21 versus FY22 with a 19.6% EBITDA margin versus 18% in the corresponding year prior to that. This was on the back of industry tailwinds with supply chain management and strong business growth across both our segments. However, the global slowdown in the generics business due to channel inventory and lower demand offtake led to muted growth in the last quarter. Also, a lag in passing on increased prices, supply chain disruption, and significant rise in input costs affected our business further. Our balance sheet and return ratios. In addition to growing the top line and bottom line, we have also been making focused efforts to strengthen our balance sheet and to improve the return ratios of the company. As a result, our debt-to-equity ratio now stands at 0.59 times as compared to 0.61 times at the end of the previous financial year and 0.73 times in the year before that. We have also negotiated with our bankers to bring down our average borrowing costs from 6.99% in March 2021 to a blended rate of 6.155% in March 2022. Our return on equity has also improved to 16.2% in FY22 from 15.2% in FY21 and 10.7% in the year preceding that. These numbers indicate a healthy condition of our business considering the nature of operations along with the ongoing and planned capacity expansions. On the dividend, the company has declared a final dividend of 20% or 40 paise and the total dividend for FY22 is 80% or 1 rupee 60 paise. Now I'd like to hand over to our President Pharmaceuticals, Mr. Manoj Mehrotra, to take us through the performance of the pharmaceutical division.
Thank you, Anish, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On the financial side, the pharma business has experienced muted revenue growth, 6.6% with 1130 crore total revenue in FY22 versus 1060 crore in FY21. The EBIT of the division was at rupees 151 crore at 13.4% margin in FY22. This muted trend was primarily due to 1. Overstocking with customers, 2. Pass-through underway, 3. Rise in input costs of raw materials, solvents, utility, and freight cost. On price pass-through, we are in discussion with customers, the impact of which we will see in the upcoming fiscal year. As we all know, we have two verticals within the pharma business, API and CDMO. On the API business, over the year, we have added several new customers and strengthened presence in new geographies like Latin America and Japan. Our new product launches in antidiabetic have been witnessing increased traction from customers. We have 10 plus products in development pipeline and are planning to launch 4 to 5 products in FY23. The CDMO side, our CDMO business has witnessed increased traction with 20% increase in overall inquiries with increase in win rate as well. We have converted 2 opportunities this year, 2 KSMs for new drugs with global innovator, and 1 intermediate opportunity with another innovator. Several customers have done plant visits in FY22. Our future pipeline for CDMO business remains robust with working going on in multiple upcoming opportunities. On the animal health side, our animal health business continues to witness growth on back of existing relationship with majority of key AH companies. We have also commenced process development work for several active ingredients which are part of the multi-year animal health project with the global innovator. We plan to finish the commissioning of plant by FY23 and start revenue accrual from FY24. While our business pipeline continues to be strong, we have also undertaken multiple initiatives to improve our margins. To ensure right raw material availability and pricing of our key RMs, we are working on 1. Strategic vendor relationship with long-term contracts, 2. De-risking supply chain from China, and 3. Backward integration in it. In addition to this, we are working on multiple manufacturing excellence or cost improvement programs to improve yield and solvent recovery for our key products. With all these initiatives, we foresee future pressures to persist in FY23. Q1 will face more pressure, followed by gradual uptake starting in Q2 FY23. With that, I invite our President of Crop Protection Business, Vimal Kulkarni.
Thank you, Manoj. Good afternoon, all participants in the earning call. The crop business has recorded revenue growth of 23% year-on-year basis with 813 crore total revenue in FY22 versus 661 crore in FY21. The EBIT of division was at 116 crore at 14.3 margin in FY22. The revenue growth was mainly achieved on the back of higher demand from our leading CDMO customers, new contracts with key US and Japanese customers, sale of our own products slowed down due to raw material availability issues. In crop business, we have 2 business verticals. In own products, demand from our existing product remains intact from our key customers. We are also planning to complete the plant commissioning of our new fungicide by third quarter of current calendar year and start revenue accrual by end of FY23. We are planning to launch one more fungicide with a combined potential of 400 to 500 crore. We'll also continue to explore new product opportunities in the business, and 5 to 6 products are under development as well. In CDMO business, our CDMO business continue to receive inquiries from all new customers. Several new customers have done plant visits in FY22. We are increasing efforts to build and strengthen relationship with our US and Japanese customers. To ensure stable availability and pricing of key raw materials, we are working on developing strategic vendor relationship with long-term contracts and de-risking supply chain from China. We are also planning to initiate manufacturing excellence programs to lower production cost and improve margins. Now I hand over to Anish for future outlook.
Great. Thank you, Vimal and Manoj. Since our business heads have now talked about their respective businesses, I would like to take you through some of our other key priorities we are working on as part of Project Pinnacle. As you already know, we are undergoing a transformation of our business from good to great while continuing to drive profitable growth. We have also onboarded a global consultant to help us identify the right strategic direction for choosing the suitable products, partners, technologies for the future while bolstering our R&D and manufacturing capabilities. Some of the key focus areas for this financial year will be compliance. As I have mentioned earlier in my address as well, we are taking stringent steps towards strengthening our compliance policies, de-risking, separating the operating model of both our businesses, stricter vendor due diligences and revamp of vendor contracts, third-party audits of all our plants, and process improvements to enhance checks and balances. We are making every effort and endeavor to ensure the company is not involved in any such incident ever again. Cost improvements. We are taking targeted actions to ensure our bottom line improvement by price pass-through on long-term contracts, manufacturing excellence programs, which is cost improvement programs for priority products to improve yield and solvent recoveries, strategic vendor relationships for key raw materials, backward integration, and a shift to renewable energy and biomass. Customers. Customer centricity remains key for Hycle. We will continue to fulfill our commitments and deliver best-in-class quality products. Our continued focus will be to increase share with existing customers while adding new customers and strengthening presence in newer geographies such as Latin America and Japan. capacity utilization and expansion, we are working on improving our asset utilization with a clear focus on reduction in cycle time and changeover times. We will continue to selectively invest in growth opportunities for the businesses to ensure that we are investing in right opportunities, offering long-term returns to the business. In terms of outlook for next year, we expect FY 2023 to be a year of necessary slowdown and consolidation to prepare us for future accelerated growth. We expect market headwinds to continue, but we are confident that the strong measures taken will help us navigate these turbulent situations. Pressure in Q1 will remain high, higher than that of Q4, but we are confident of improving quarter-on-quarter starting Q2. The growth trajectory, along with new opportunities, strong customer relationships, and new technologies, will catalyze the future of our business towards our bold aspirations. Finally, we are a company that has been in business for over 34 years. We have faced multiple headwinds and been through several ups and downs in our journey. However, we have always navigated through these tough times without compromising on our core values and ethics. Our business has been and continues to be built on long-term relationships. The past 6 months has been challenging. However, I am confident that as we come out of this, we will be a more nimble, flexible, and resilient company. We are eternally grateful to all our colleagues who have risen to the occasion and all our stakeholders who have supported us during these difficult times. While the short to medium-term outlook is cloudy, the longer-term growth and profitability story is very much intact. Thank you all for your time and support. With this, we will now open the floor to questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead. Yes.
Just to understand, so last call, we remember the commentary with regards to the growth and demand outlook was quite buoyant. At the same time, the commentary with regards to input cost was bearish, and you had mentioned it takes some time to pass on the cost to the consumers. Just to understand on the growth part and the demand side and the sales revenue part, what has changed in last, say, two, 3 months, whereby our commentary has changed from a strong demand outlook, a buoyant demand outlook, to something where you seem to be more cautious or talking about the next year being a very challenging year?
Sure. What I would do is I'll hand this over to Vimal for the crop protection, and then Manoj can talk about the pharma division.
Yeah. Demand is strong. We are getting customer inquiries, and we are confident that we would continue to get inquiries in our CDMO space and own products also. The challenge has been in quarter four of supply chain. There were a lot of supply chain disruptions, you know, after this Russia and Ukraine war. Crude has gone up sharply. Energy has almost become double. Raw material prices has increased almost 40%-60%. Solvent prices have increased. That has created the issue. One is raw material availability, and second on the pricing issues, which has put pressure on the margins. We expect a lag in passing the cost impact in the price, and we are confident that from Q2, we'll be able to pass on this in the prices. Over to Manoj for pharma.
Yeah. I'll address this question in two parts. Number one is on the demand side. Demand, since we have two distinct segments, on the CDMO side, we are seeing increasing demand with more number of inquiries coming, more number of customers willing to work with Hycal. But as we know that CDMO side, the demand takes some time to ramp up, but we are seeing very, very positive signals from our customers on the demand side on CDMO. On the API side, since our raw material costs have gone up and we have been in discussions with various customers for increase in selling prices, and that actually subdues the demand in the short term because everybody wants to kind of go back or liquidate the inventories first. So there definitely is a short-term impact. And since we are in B2B business, it takes some time for customers to take suitable decisions as well. And we would also not like to really sell at very low prices and build up inventory at customers' ends. So it's better to be a little slow and steady and make sure that the cost is passed on over a period of time. But that usually takes around two to three quarters, I will say. We want to retain all our existing customers because in the long run, it is the same customers who will give us the margins. On the CDMO side, although we have contracts for pass-through costs, but they always have a lag effect because we can't do month-by-month pass-through costs. There's always either a three-month or a six-month window where the customers discuss. It's mostly 6 months, and it takes some time for us to pass through. Also, the energy costs have been just shooting through the roof and not showing any respite, whether it is the fuel, whether it is coal, whether it is biomass briquettes, and that is causing a lot of pressure. So overall, the cost side, there is pressure. It will take, I'll say, Q2 onwards, you will definitely see better margins from the pharma business. But long-term demand remains good. All our products and relationship with customers stand steady. We will continue to add new customers on CDMO side as well as on the generic API side.
So just to further this question, see, our margins on the pharma side were already below the averages for last three quarters. And this quarter we have had probably the worst margins on the pharma side and both agro side. So do we expect this to continue, say, for another quarter? And quarter two onwards, will we see a sharp improvement or a gradual improvement? And when do we expect to get back to our normal margins?
Right. So I'll take the former question. Manoj, you can take the question, but I'll just answer on the overall perspective of the company. I think it's very difficult for us to give guidance in terms of margin at this period of time because things are very uncertain and things are very fluid. I think Q1 overall for the company, as we look at it, will certainly be more subdued than Q4. But as Manoj and Vimal have both mentioned, on Q2 onwards, you'll start seeing an improvement going forward. So it'll be a stepwise approach. Q1 will probably bottom out, and then you'll have an improvement in Q2, and then you'll see an increase in Q3 and Q4 going forward. As to when you'll see us get back to it, we are hopeful that, next financial year, you'll see us getting back to it. But there are a lot of external circumstances that are beyond our control, and we do expect and we are hopeful that they will solve themselves in a short amount of period. So that's why we're a little cautious in terms of giving guidance at this period of time.
So I agree with Anish that the Q1 will see a bottoming out of the margin. Q2 onwards, the uptick will start. Now, how long will it take to reach the previous margins is a little difficult to forecast at this stage because we all know that supply chains across the world are very much disrupted. And on top of it, this energy costs have really put a pressure on our costs.
Sure. And secondly, so on the growth part, as far as our top line is concerned, are we more confident on the top line compared to the margin, given also, Anish, that we have done, or as per the results, the capitalization is roughly around 170-180 crores in terms of the fixed assets addition. But at the same time, in terms of the cash flow amount being spent, we have almost spent roughly around 150 crores each in the 2 years, FY20, FY21, and further about 270 crores in FY22. So just to understand, when do we see the benefits of CAPEX kicking in, and thereby the top line growth being much better?
Right. So again, reiterating the point of guidance, you know, at this point in time, it's a little challenging to, for us to give you both revenue guidance and margin guidance. But certainly the assets that we put on ground, all the CapEx that we have, we are finishing off the CapEx. Whatever spending we're finishing off, because they're mostly backed by contracts and/or products that we have in the pipeline. But given the current situation that we have with the raw material and input costs, it's very challenging to say that, you know, when we're going to start the operations of those plants, you know, for production. But we are hopeful, as both the business heads have indicated, that on Q2 onwards, at the end of Q2 onwards, we'll see a resurrection in terms of the business, and you'll start to see that growth and profitability come through.
Sure. And just the last thing, the CapEx capitalization. So, if you could, what amount has been, what amount of CapEx do we expect in the current year, and what amount of capitalization do we expect in the current year to be done on the CapEx side?
Yeah, sure. I'll take this question. See, we are expecting 250-275 crore cash flow for this year, and the capitalization will be close to 400 crore in the current financial year.
Okay, so that means, if I just take 2 years, FY 2022 and FY 2023, the total capitalization will be roughly about,  560-580 crores. Is that correct?
600 crore almost.
And then in terms of the asset turn, how do we look at this CapEx asset turn for FY 2024 and 2025?
Yeah, typically, as we mentioned earlier, in case of pharma business, it takes typically 18 months to 24 months to put it to commercialization. And in case of the crop protection, it takes typically 6 to 9 months after completion of the projects.
Sure. Sorry, just pardon me for this last one. So what is the CapEx schedule in terms of the commercials being started in this year? That's the last one.
Yeah, so for the crop CapEx, we expect to start, expect to commission in Q3 FY 2023, and we expect to accrual of revenue from Q4 of, or end of the year of FY 2023.
Sure. Sure. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, you know, taking forward this question on CapEx, you know, 600 crore we will be capitalizing over the FY 2023. So, one thing I wanted to understand, Anish, you know, let's forget about FY 2023. FY 2023, we do understand the kind of challenges we are facing. But let's say over FY 2025, this 600 crore CapEx being in, being coming in, being streamlined, and given, you know, let's say 1.5 years of streamlining, do we think that, you know, this 600 crore CapEx can give us additional 1,000 crore kind of revenue, and we reach a top line of, say, around 3,000 crore by FY 2025? I'm not even talking about FY 2023, but I'm talking about FY 2025.
Yeah. So, a very valid question. I mean, I think by 2024, 2025, we definitely expect, you know, us to be operating somewhere near close to peak levels. As we've indicated in the past, peak levels are about 1.5 times, right? You know, so to answer your question, you know, whatever we have coming on stream now, we expect to deliver revenues worth 1.5 times of what we have to be in the ground, right?
Like, to reach at least 3,000 crore by FY 2025.
I'm sorry, you were inaudible at the time. Can you please repeat that?
Yeah. So we can at least touch, you know, 3,000 crore revenue by FY 2025.
Yeah, that should be possible. Yes.
Sure. And also on, you know, the kind of commentary you guys have given earlier, you know, of course, we do understand that first half of next year will be challenging. But on the margin side, let's say when you touch 3,000 crore revenue, what kind of margin improvement do we see in a base margin of around 19-20% that we have been reporting over, you know, the past year or two? From there, what kind of margins can we see in FY 2025 when we hit peak revenue, and hopefully all these headwinds that we are facing currently are also behind us?
So look, when we look at the future margins of the business, I mean, look, up to the 9 months ended this financial or last financial year, we were at a very, very healthy run rate, right, as you could see from 19%. So we were actually a little ahead of what our targets were. And had we continued or had we had not external challenges like the current environment, we would have certainly delivered on our growth and exceeded it. I think if you look at the longer term vision, we certainly see above 20% margins from where we are and renew our consolidated growth as we've indicated in the past. The current situation, given where we are with the external challenges that we have, it's very difficult to tell. But the long-term picture, the long-term horizon for both businesses are very much intact. We're very positive about it, which is why we're still investing in it. And most of the investments are going back on the basis of our customer commitments.
Sure. Because earlier, you know, you have always guided over the past year or two that we will see at least 1-1.5% kind of margin improvement to as compared to a base margin to 19-20% over the next few years. So let's forget about FY23. But let's say from FY24 onwards, can we start seeing that improvement from our base levels of 19-20% in FY24 and 25 every year?
Yes, we should. We should. And I had always indicated 50 to 100 basis points on an annual basis, but yes, we should. And that's what we're working towards. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. On the CAPEX side, given the kind of headwinds that we are facing currently, what are our CAPEX plans for FY23 and 24?
So right now for FY24, we haven't gotten any CAPEX because it all depends on where we are today. But as Kuldeep, our CFO, had mentioned, is that we're completing all the CAPEX that we had backed by the customer contracts that we had initiated last year on the crop side for the crop division and for the pharma division. We have the animal health CAPEX that we're undertaking this year and a slight expansion in R&D based on the inquiries or the number of inquiries we've had and that we need to cater to. So we have to invest in that. So we expect that, it's only CAPEX that we need to do. Obviously, it's focusing on what's absolutely necessary at that time and what's backed by customer commitments. What's good to have is something that we're, at this point in time, deferring probably till the second half of this financial year.
How much will that amount be for FY23? How much CAPEX is still left, where we have commitment from customers or commitment from companies?
So about 250 to 270 crores as Kuldeep, our CFO, had mentioned. Yeah.
Sure. And, last question on the pharma side. FY19, we ended pharma with revenues of around, 940 crores, 939 or 940 crores. And this year, we are ending with 1130 crores. So it's a single-digit kind of revenue growth that we have seen over the past 3 years in pharma. So if you can highlight about, what kind of challenges we have faced on the pharma side, despite most of the API companies running in a moolah in past year or two. So what has been the reason of such slow growth in pharma side? And, leave apart FY23, how much growth do we see in pharma segment during FY24 and 25?
So I think that,
go ahead.
Anish, yeah. So on the pharma side, if you see, typically the revenue growth has been 10 to 12%. If you see overall CAGR of 5 years, it will be more in the range of 13-14%. And yes, in between we had a little slowdown in 1 year. And that's why maybe this 2 year period is dropping. But over an extended 5 year period, we have close to 13-14%. What we are looking at for the future is adding more new products on the API side. As I mentioned, we are launching several new products on the anti-diabetic segment. And number two is we are looking at building new relationships on the CDMO side, where we offer our development and manufacturing services. And the third vertical is the animal health business, which we believe has got very good potential. There are a limited number of players out here, and we believe Hycle is in a very good cost position and strategic position to ensure that we get capture more of the animal health market. So we will be in all the three segments, and I think the growth will always be in that range, I'll say close to 12 to 15% going forward.
So from FY24 onwards also, like, we expect the pharma segment to grow at 12 to 15%.
Yes, that's the guidance. Yeah. By 23, we'll have to wait and watch as we explained on the various issues. But going future, definitely we'll go back to our growing ways with these three initiatives I mentioned on APIs, on CDMO business, and animal health business. We are very bullish on CDMO and animal health because it is upper alley. We have done several such projects. It is, and customers like to work with us in those segments. And we have made a success of it in the past, and we'll do more so in future in these two segments.
So, last question on the Gliptin side. You know, we have been very hopeful that, you know, Gliptin, like 2-3 years back, we were very confident that Gliptin as a segment on the pharma side will scale up. We'll see some, you know, at least few molecules coming out of this Gliptin segment, which can contribute 50 to 100 crore of additional revenue per molecule. So if you can talk about how have this segment or Gliptin as a segment scaled up for us, and how much is it contributing to our revenues currently?
So the Gliptins are just, you know, anti-diabetic side, there are two segments. One are Gliptins and Gliflozins. They are both coming out of patent now, actually. Like say something like Sitagliptin, FY24 will be the real year where we will see significant commercial sales. As of now, we have provided development quantities and seeding quantities to various customers, and they can launch only once the patent expires in various markets, which we will start seeing good commercial sales in FY24 onwards on the full anti-diabetic segment.
Sure. Thank you, Ambish.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So Anish, the first question is, I think if we go back to our earlier calls, I think we were aspiring to grow anywhere between 15% to 20% year on year. And barring FY23, I understand that that commentary continues. And if only pharma segment grows at 12% to 15%, crop protection has to grow at much faster rate, right? So How do we correlate these two things together?
So I think, you know, basically based on what the current situation is, we're being a little more conservative, but we certainly feel that both divisions can grow at 15%, right? Given the current situation, as we said, it's very difficult for us to give guidance post FY23. But if you look at the comparison between the crop business and the pharma business, you know, crop can scale up much faster than that of pharma because of the regulations and because of the validation and the time taken to actually get to commercial. You know, being or originating as a crop company 32 or 34 years ago, we know this business inside out. We see the massive demand in terms of both our product pipeline and the commercial that we have currently in process. So we certainly see crop being more of a hockey stick approach, while pharma taking its time because of all the regulations, the different markets that we're entering. Both businesses will continue to grow at 15%, and that's how we're confident of how. When is a bit of a challenge to say right now, given where we are today with the external forces that we have.
Okay. Second question, Anik, slightly direct question, but I mean, the change in commentary on demand side, I understand RM pressure and everything is there for everybody. But in span of this 3 months, you know, the change in commentary is quite significant. So is it because have we lost any significant customer or contract, you know, which is leading us to kind of taper down our growth aspiration for FY23?
So we've lost not a single customer, neither have we lost a single contract. Our customers have stood by us during this difficult period of time, and they are still with us. In fact, we are in discussions with our existing customers on how to increase volumes as we go forward. So our customers are very much with us. The demand has come off, like in the pharma business, as Manoj has alluded to. The demand on the generic side has come off because there's been a lot of inventory, there's been a lot of pipeline in the inventory. On the CDMO side, I definitely see the demand to be buoyant, and it's all about us executing the demand. The challenge there has been is that the input costs have gone significantly high, and for us to be in business, we need to make money as well. So we're working with our customers, taking into account that these are long-term relationships, that we will work with our customers to ensure that it's a win-win situation for both of us. But we have not lost a single customer and or a single contract.
Okay, that's very helpful. So again, coming back to the margin side of it, I think we have been guiding, as you said, 50 to 100 bits margin improvement every year as the growth comes back. Now we are undertaking this transformation program, quite a big initiative that we've been talking about. So this 50 to 100 bits was before even the transformation program that you had undertaken, right? So, I mean, is there any positive rub off impact of that which can kind of, you know, improve the potential of margin improvement going forward?
So we certainly see, I mean, a lot of the programs that we've taken, actually we would have been worse off had we not undertaken the programs and had our global partner not been with us, because a lot of those initiatives had started late last financial year. So if we were to compare, and we do compare this internally, had we continued the way we were in terms of our programs versus what are the value add has been from our external partners, it's significant, right? It's significant improvement. So the raw material costs, the input costs have been so substantially higher than what we had predicted, but some of those cost improvement programs that we've undertaken has helped to actually save us money. Otherwise, the impact would have been even worse. I think going forward, you know, getting on board cost improvement programs also looks at strategic supply chain, right? So we've also developed strategic suppliers to de-risk ourselves from the Chinese supply chain. So that takes time, right? So we have various programs which will eventually come on stream, I would estimate probably in the next half of this financial year, which will actually lead to supply chain de-risking and eventually a increase in terms of margin.
Okay. Okay. And last question. Basically, you know, with respect to, you know, our...
The line for the current participant has got disconnected. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Shravan from Premier Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I needed a little more color on our animal health contract. It's been like a year since we got that contract. So any color you can give on the kind of capex we are incurring specifically for that large client that we are working with, and also the kind of potential we see, revenue potential over next 3 years probably.
Yeah, so Shravan, basically as we had indicated in the past calls as well, since this is a very confidential contract, we're not disclosing the amount of investment that we're putting in. However, you know, in this case, our customer is contributing to 50% of the capital expenditure that we are putting into the plant, which shows their long-term commitment. It is a 10-year contract. It is multiple products in the contract itself, so it's a diversified contract. The asset turnover ratios of the revenue is going to be more or less in line of what we are doing today, which is 1.5 times what the asset that we're putting in. It is a substantial asset that we are building. And this is just the first phase of the products that we have in the pipeline. So there's, you know, this is wave one and wave two. There's also wave three and wave four that will potentially come down the line. The animal health business, as Manoj alluded to, is a very strong potential for us. We are seeing a lot of traction in there, not only from this customer, but also from other customers that are now looking at rationalizing their supply chains and their product portfolios. So we definitely do expect good things for the animal health business in the years to come.
Right, right. And like on previous calls when we spoke about this animal contract and the kind of capex that we're doing, we clearly said that the kind of the capex that we're doing is typically for products that have better gross margins than currently that we have. So all those things hold, like the kind of the products that would come on stream later part of this year and FY24, the margin profile of those products would be significantly better.
I would say they're incrementally better than what we have right now. Obviously, it takes time to go to full potential, but we do estimate that the products to be about 45% contribution margins on those animal health products.
Right, right. And just two more questions. One is we are seeing this somber demand environment, but we've mentioned in our press release that H2 we see the animal health, the crop protection capex coming on stream. So that would add to incremental revenues in H2. We would see that only in the latter part of Q3 or Q4, right?
Yeah, since the plant comes on stream towards the end of Q3, when you fire up the plant, you validate the product, and then you start selling, you'll really see some part of revenue coming in this financial year to the end of Q4.
Right. And my own thing that I wanted to share with you, that if you see year on year, our expenses in such a challenging environment, our expenses have actually gone up. So our employee expenses are up 30%, while our other expenses are up 10-12%. So in this challenging environment, should we be following a much more stringent control on our expenses, as our margins are down, 800-900 basis points YOY? So should we be a little more aggressive on cost controls?
No, you're actually right. I mean, firstly, our margins are down 800-900 basis points only when you compare Q4. But for the first 9 months of the year, the margins were up and the growth was there. But there is something definitely that we have been looking at very, very closely. We have looked at every cost that we have. We have stripped out whatever is not necessary. Again, we had invested for future growth. When you have a plant that's coming on stream, you need to hire, because the hiring process itself takes anywhere between 4 to 6 months to get people on board or good people on board. And these are complex, multi-purpose operational plants that we have. We've also hired for future growth. So we are putting the handbrake on a lot of costs. We are rationalizing costs. But the key here is, while we do that, the focus is on improving margins and growing our business, because you can only cut costs so much. But to your point, it's absolutely at the forefront of our current financial governance that we have right now.
Right. Got it. And just one last question. So if I just look at the crop protection business, so pharma business till Q3 also we were facing a lot of pressures, Q2 and Q3. But the sequential drop that we see in the crop protection business, can you just highlight a little more whether the lockdown in China, did that lead to us not being able to meet some demand because of the supply chain issues, or because of the lockdown, could we source some of the materials, or did they went up so high? Because the sequential fall in crop protection margins is quite a lot. Like, pharma is down, but we were facing those issues in Q3 also. Just if you could highlight a little more on crop protection business, because when we spoke last on 10th February, or when we had the last call, at that time the scenario of the crop protection business wasn't that bad. So I understand the war and everything, and that has taken place post that only. But I really, if you could just highlight a little more on what actually transpired in the crop protection business for such a sharp sequential decline.
Yeah, Anish, I'll take this call. So as I mentioned to you in my speech, that there has been supply chain disruptions which we faced, and those disruptions are, one is that availability of raw materials, and other is the price. The way there was sharp increase in crude prices, energy also has almost become double. And there were issue of, passing the cost to the price and the availability of raw material. And that has impacted between Q3 and Q4.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Jain from Hansraj Vendra Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the pharmaceutical segment.
Mr. Jain, sorry to interrupt you. The audio is not clear from your line. Please use the handset mode.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
So my question is on the pharmaceutical segment. As we are talking about a good growth coming in for the next couple of years, can you throw some light, if we look at our DMF filings for the last 3 years, it's been one API for at least for FY 20, 21 and 22. So can you just throw some light how the given pipeline is evolving on the development side, and where do we see the most of the growth would be coming from, the existing approved products, or it would be from new development projects which you would be working on?
And do you mind repeating the question? I think your audio was not very clear towards the beginning.
Doctor, my question is on the product pipeline on the pharmaceutical segment. So if you look at our DMF filing for last 2-3 years, it's been a one API for each year. And as you are bullish on the growth which would be coming in the pharmaceutical segment, so is that you are expecting from the existing products, or are you having a new product in the pipeline which you are working and that is going to drive the growth in the pharmaceutical segment?
So I'll just answer this question. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, so see, first is this, our DMF filing has been more than one per year. If you see, the average has been 2 to 3 per year. And that is the philosophy where Hycal works on, that we'll file less number of DMFs, but we will ensure that the DMFs are commercialized and we have a good cost process. Now, on the cost, on the future growth, it will be a mix of getting more customers for existing products and increasing market share, as well as getting into commercializing these new DMFs. As you know, that what DMF we file today, it's actually a 3 to 4 year process to really commercialize, so it takes some while. So from a current level of 2 to 3 DMFs, we'll actually now, will accelerate growth to 4 to 5 DMFs per year. And that's the reason we are investing more in R&D in the last 1 to 2 years, and we'll continue to do that. And as I mentioned, that it will always be a combination of old plus new.
Okay. And so second question is on the CDMO pipeline. So I think if you look at the sales breakup in the pharmaceutical segment, so if it's something from FY20 to FY22, it has gone significantly down from 54% of the sales to 44% of the sales. So can you provide the, is that due to some projects has been dropped off from the pipeline, or how this pipeline looks like in the coming 2-3 years? I mean, are we adding some late stage projects, or how this pipeline is going to evolve in the coming time?
See, the CDMO projects are always dependent on the forecast from customers, and there are years when the customer goes in for inventory correction, which was in the last year, I'll say, where the customers wanted inventory corrections because they had built up excess inventory during the pandemic. So that corrections are taking place at this point of time. But at least the base business will be back to where it was, I'll say, in the next Q2 onwards. Now, on the new product pipeline, yes, we are, as we mentioned in our opening statement, several new customers are being added as we speak. Many of them are coming for audits and discussions with us now since the pandemic is getting better, I'll say. The on-site visits have restarted, and we are confident of adding several customers going forward. As we have mentioned previously, that all customers are looking for alternatives beyond China, or what we call the China Plus One strategy. And that is playing out in the CDMO segment, which we are seeing very clearly. We are seeing several new RFPs coming towards us, and our conversion ratios have also increased in the CDMO segment. And that is, the same logic applies on the animal health segment, where several big pharma companies have animal health businesses, and they also want to partner with new companies in India. So overall, I'll say very healthy pipeline of CDMO projects.
So the new order inquiry which you have mentioned, is it largely the phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 molecules, or already commercialized where they want to...
I'll say phase 3 and or to be commercialized kind. Phase 1, phase 2 come with their own risks. We have a few of them. But what we are referring, or I'm discussing now, are more in phase 3 and getting on the way to commercialization now. In fact, 2 KSNs what we have signed, that's already a commercial product, and we are doing scale-up or validation quantities at this point of time.
All right, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Jain from Mahavir Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, actually just going through our collaterals and hearing out throughout the call, I understand that there are some short-term challenges that the company is facing currently. But can you please elaborate or throw some light on how do we see the long-term prospect shaping up, maybe a longer-term view, and especially with the initiatives which we have taken and also the transformational program which we have undertaken? If you can just give us a long-term view, how the company will be shaping up.
I think the transformational program is well underway. We've identified, not only have we identified several opportunities for taking out cost and bringing in more efficiency, but we've actually identified several strategic initiatives with customers and product pipelines which are actually yielding results as we speak today. I mean, as you've heard from both the businesses, the pipeline has been increasing over the last two quarters substantially. And as Manoj has alluded to, that there are really live products in the pipeline which are phase two and phase three and some semi-commercial as well. Vimal himself in his crop protection business has several products in the pipeline, close to about six right now that are underway, that are being evaluated at the proof of concept stage and that will soon go into semi-commercial stages. So I think overall from a company perspective, you know, we certainly see growth returning. These are short to midterm challenges that we feel that are more external, and I think the entire environment is being affected. Like every manufacturing company out there is being affected by the increase in terms of raw material costs as well as utilities. To be a little more specific, I'll hand it over to Vimal and he can take you through some of his
thoughts. Yeah, so in crop production from CDMO customers, we are getting a lot of inquiries. We are getting inquiries from the same customers for additional products, new products, as well as from new customers also, especially from US and Japan. In our own products, we are going to commission our one fungicide plant at the end of this financial year. And there we have one more product which is under development. And we have two, three more products which are on development, which are expected to come in line maybe in next 1 to 2 years. So we see a good momentum going forward. Yeah, Manoj, over to you, Manoj.
I did answer on the CDMO pipeline and the DMF pipeline.
Okay, great.
That was the only question, and I wish you all the best given the strong background of the company. I hope we'll be able to crack everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take one last question from the line of Pranay Dahlia from Panchatantra Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Anish. I hope all of you are well. And I hope that this is the last quarter of disappointments. I have a couple of questions on the financial front. Can you please give the total debt figure, the term loan as well as the working capital?
So the total debt as of March 22 was 675 crore, which comprised of 273 crore of working capital debt and 402 crores of long-term debt.
So what we can make out in this call is that the pessimism that you're showing for this current year is only because of the raw material cost push. You don't see any shock or any problem from the sales side. You're only concerned about the profitability. The top line does not bother you?
Yes, I mean, primarily it's driven by raw material input costs, right? Because there have been certain circumstances in which products have become unviable to sell because in Q4 and as we see in Q1, because of these sharp increases in raw material costs and supply chain challenges. From a demand perspective, we don't see challenges, but if these raw material situations and supply chain challenges and energy costs come down, then certainly we definitely see an upside potential. But, you know, to your first statement, certainly I think Q1 as it's shaping up is definitely more challenging than Q4, but Q1 we hope to bottom out at, and then there'll be a stepwise increase as we see it Q2 through Q4 of this financial year.
Okay. And the Taloja facility, how much was it contributing to our top line? What has been disclosed by you in the previous documentaries has been about, say, 220 crores. That's almost 10-12% of our total top line.
Yeah, that's correct. It's increased slightly. It's about 260 odd crores. 260 to 280 crores is what it contributes to our top line.
So considering you're already expecting a muted quarter, this shutdown should not be impacting you.
Yes. impacting us from what way? In addition to that, I mean, that's part of the reason why we have a muted quarter.
Okay, okay. And lastly, you know, I've been a shareholder for almost 7 years in the company. Prior to this, we packed our bags on the back, saying that, you know, we had managed to de-risk ourselves in raw material procurement from China and other things that Samir has said initially. Unfortunately, he's not there in the call. I hope he's there next time around. But all of a sudden, we are seeing that there's been no precipitation, you know, in our raw material changing policy, because it's hitting us even harder now.
See, we have de-risked our supply chain significantly, but it's not only China's supply chain that's affecting, it's also domestic supply chain that's gone up, right? Input costs have gone up substantially. I mean, feedstock itself, it's not available. You've seen solvent prices that have gone up about 40%. Input costs from domestic suppliers themselves have been affected. So even if you were zero reliant on China, you'd still have input costs. I mean, there are a lot of companies that have no reliance or very limited reliance on China. They still have significant input costs, right? The increase.
Also, I mean, this time the... This time the disruption has been more global. It's not only restricted to China.
Yeah.
All over, because of first the COVID crisis, then the crisis in China, now the European-Ukraine war. So it's all over.
Okay, and because of the Ukraine war, do we see any less offtake in Europe, or that stands as normal?
No, offtake stands. In fact, there are customers for us who, in Ukraine, who is actually resumed buying now. So offtake stands in all of European market, but it is the input costs which have become unpredictable.
Get it.
And all our customers have long-term contracts, they have government tenders and all. So it's very difficult for us to really pass through the cost immediately. It takes time.
And so I would also like to mention, entering into some long-term contracts with your suppliers to mitigate this for future.
We do that definitely, but this time, in our opinion, it has been to some extent force majeure as well.
Okay. Well, then this would be from my side. Thank you for your time and hope that we recover soon and get back to greener pastures.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anish Swadi for closing comments.
So I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all, if not most, of your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with our strategic growth advisors, who are our investor relations advisors. Thank you very much and stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Hycle Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.